With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're listening ad-free on Wondery Plus. It's late in the evening on October 21st, 1938, in Los Angeles, California. Actor Buddy Ebsen lies in bed at home, shuddering in pain. His wife reaches to his side and tries to comfort him, but Buddy winces as he holds his hands out to her. They're trembling and curled into tight fists. At age 30, Buddy is normally strong and healthy, but right now he feels like he's dying, and he has no idea why. All day, Buddy has grown more uncomfortable, his head and hands racked with pain. But after going to bed, his condition quickly worsened. Now he's struggling even to breathe. And the ambulance his wife summoned a few minutes ago can't come soon enough. Buddy's only 2 weeks into filming a new movie, The Wizard of Oz. He plays a man made of tin, so he wears a silver-painted costume and makeup that makes his skin shine under the bright studio lights. But ever since production began, his health has steadily deteriorated. When the ambulance arrives, the paramedics assess Buddy's condition. He tries to put on a brave face, but every breath is a struggle, and a searing pain is spreading across his chest. The paramedics carry him out of the house on a stretcher and load him into the back of the ambulance. As the vehicle pulls away from the curb, one of the paramedics puts an oxygen mask on Buddy's face. He inhales, but the pain is getting worse. His hands and feet are cramping, and his lungs feel like they're coated with mud. Every breath takes more and more effort. He desperately hopes that they get to the hospital in time. When Buddy Ebsen reaches the Good Samaritan Hospital in Los Angeles, doctors will soon discover the cause of his illness. The pure aluminum dust in the makeup he's worn has coated the inside of his lungs, essentially suffocating him. Buddy will slowly recover, but not in time to keep his role in The Wizard of Oz. Instead, the Tin Man will be played by another actor, but Buddy's near-death experience will be just the start of a series of accidents and controversies that producers must overcome before The Wizard of Oz's star-studded premiere on August 15, 1939. From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is August 15th, 1939, the premiere of The Wizard of Oz. It's October 1937 in Hollywood, California, a year before actor Buddy Ebsen is rushed to the emergency room. 37-year-old Hollywood producer Mervyn LeRoy steps out of the elevator on the third floor at MGM Studios. He shoots a smile at the secretary, and as he makes his way down the hall, tries to ignore the cold stares from other producers at their desks. Mervyn knows why he's being greeted with such frosty looks. Word has gotten out about his record-breaking salary. At $6,000 a week, he's getting paid more than any other producer at the studio. Mervyn feels he's earned his high wages after a string of success at his old studio, Warner Brothers, but he's also smart enough to know that he's still got a lot to prove at MGM. He takes a deep breath as he enters the corner office of Louis B. Mayer, the powerful executive who wooed Mervyn to the studio. As Mervyn enters, the bespectacled Mayer motions for him to take a seat and offers him a cigar. Mervyn takes one, chomps at its end as he lights it, trying to calm his nerves because he can see worry is etched all over Mayer's face. Last year, Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was a spectacular box office success. Audiences were awed by the beautiful animation and skillful storytelling. Now, everyone is eagerly anticipating Disney's next hit, and the pressure is on other studios like MGM to respond. and Mervin believes he has the perfect idea. So he tells his new boss, Mayer, that the best way to outdo Disney is to make their own fantasy picture, but do it with live actors, outstanding music, and spectacular special effects. Mervin already knows the perfect story for his ambitious vision, the children's novel The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. L. Frank Baum published this book in May of 1900. It's the story of a young girl from the Midwest who gets swept up by a tornado into a strange world of flying creatures, menacing witches, and magical powers. Readers were enthralled, and Baum followed up with more than 10 sequels that added layers of complexity to the story. Baum always wanted to make adaptations of his work, and over the years he staged his own radio and theater productions. But his ambitious plot and outlandish characters were difficult to dramatize, and most of his productions were failures. Eventually, his experiments in theater and radio drove him into debt, and he sold the rights to his book to a producer. But he never developed the idea any further, and Baum died in 1919 without ever seeing his beloved story make the leap to stage or screen. Now, Mervin LeRoy has heard that the film rights are about to expire, and he wants MGM to fulfill Baum's dying wish. But Louis B. Mayer looks skeptical, so Mervin refines his pitch. He argues that the fantastical world of Oz would be perfect to show off a new innovation in live-action movie-making, Technicolor film. Then Mervin draws his trump card. He leans in, removing the cigar from his mouth, and reveals that Walt Disney has also expressed interest in the rights to The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. If MGM doesn't pounce on the story, their biggest rival will. And sure enough, when the rights for Oz go back up for sale a few months later, most of the top studios in town join the bidding. But thanks to Mervin's enthusiasm for the project, MGM is willing to take a chance. It emerges as the winner of the auction, securing rights to L. Frank Baum's book for $75,000. Mervin is ecstatic and immediately begins preparations to shoot the movie. He hires writers to transform the novel into a screenplay. He approves a budget of $2 million, making it one of the most expensive movies of the year, and then he assembles a cast of stars that he hopes will do the story justice. But the most important casting decision also proves to be the most difficult. At first, child star Shirley Temple seems like a natural fit to play the young lead character Dorothy. But after an audition, Mervin expresses doubts about her and he decides to look elsewhere. Eventually, Mervin will take a big risk by casting a teenage newcomer in the lead role. And when she steps into Dorothy's ruby slippers, this young star will soon discover how harsh a Hollywood set can be.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches, but there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's November 1938 on the set of The Wizard of Oz in Hollywood, California, 9 months after MGM secured the rights to produce the movie. 16-year-old Judy Garland smooths down the hem of her blue dress and tries to focus on remembering her lines. After more than a decade performing on stage, singing and dancing in front of people are second nature to Judy, but the role of Dorothy is her first lead in a major movie, and she's nervous. She runs through her dialogue again to calm herself. In the scene they've been working on, Judy is supposed to slap one of Dorothy's companions, the Cowardly Lion, but she can't get the timing right. They've been working on this one short scene for the entire morning, and Judy feels like it's all her fault. But Judy is not the only one who's feeling the strain. There's a nervous energy everywhere on set. Production of the movie has been hit by disaster after disaster. First, the actor playing the Tin Man was rushed to the hospital with breathing difficulties, and his part had to be recast. Shortly after, MGM producers replaced the movie's original director, unhappy with the early scenes he'd shot. Then Margaret Hamilton, playing the Wicked Witch of the West, suffered burns to her face and hands when a prop torch malfunctioned and ignited her costume. Later, her stunt double was also severely hurt in a similar accident. So the last thing anyone on the production needs now is a young star who can't get a scene right. Next to Judy, three of her co-stars stand around in their elaborate costumes. Bert Lahr wears thick whiskers and an orange mane as the Cowardly Lion. Jack Haley replaces Buddy Ebsen as the Tin Man and shines brightly in his silver costume and makeup. And Ray Bolger stands with his arms outstretched as the Scarecrow. All three are sweltering under the hot arc lights needed to film in the new Technicolor method, but that doesn't stop them from trying to keep up the morale of their young leading lady. They joke and clown around until Judy starts to giggle. It's a rare, light moment on set and a welcome break from the stress of shooting. But the moment is broken when the new director of the film, Victor Fleming, marches up to Judy with a scowl on his face. He glares at her and tells her to quit laughing, be professional. But she can't stop. Even just looking in her co-star sets Judy off again. Victor is not amused, so he slaps her and orders her to return to her dressing room and stay there until she's calmed down. An uncomfortable silence settles among the actors on set. Judy is humiliated, but does as she's told. Since starting the film, Judy has endured constant scrutiny, and most of the comments have been directed at her appearance. They've warned Judy not to gain any weight and put her on a strict diet, monitoring her meals and encouraging her to take only black coffee and cigarettes on set. She's also been prescribed multiple pills for anxiety, including amphetamines. Still, despite all these challenges, Judy has come to feel an affinity for the character of Dorothy and is determined to do a good job. So after spending some time alone in her dressing room, she composes herself and returns to set and finally manages to complete the scene. 3 months later, in February 1939, Judy shines again as she takes her place next to a haystack on a set dressed as rural Kansas. She takes a deep breath and starts to sing a song written for the movie titled Over the Rainbow. As the camera rolls, the crew is dumbstruck by the depth and beauty of Judy's voice and her captivating presence on camera. And thanks to Judy's spellbinding performance as Dorothy, the movie finally starts to come together. Ray Bolger dances delightfully across fields of flowers as the Scarecrow, Margaret Hamilton is menacing as the Wicked Witch, and Bert Lahr provides moments of comic genius as the Cowardly Lion. So despite all the challenges, the producers start to believe that this troubled project can be a success, and cast and crew alike will continue to work around the clock to bring the awe and wonder of The Wizard of Oz to audiences around the world.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
It's August 15, 1939, at Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, California, 5 months after shooting Raft on The Wizard of Oz. MGM producer Mervyn LeRoy steps to the curb on Hollywood Boulevard, his heart racing with anticipation. He squints up at the brightly lit facade of the theater and the sidewalk in front, which has been painted to look like a yellow brick road leading to the entrance. More than 5,000 spectators line the street, all jostling for a better view. A throng of munchkins in full costume poses for photographers. Green spires rise into the sky to depict Oz's fictional capital, the Emerald City. Hollywood stars Bing Crosby and Eddie Cantor have brought their children to watch, and they wave to the crowd. But unlike these A-listers, Mervyn goes unrecognized. He makes his way into the theater and climbs the stairs to his reserved seat. As is his custom, he has requested a place in the balcony, not so he can watch the movie, but so he can look down and gauge the reaction of the audience. As the house lights dim, Mervyn peers into the darkness. He takes a deep breath as the curtain rises, but he has no need to be nervous. The audience gasps and cheers with delight at all the right places. This successful premiere leads to a strong opening at the U.S. box office. But to Mervyn's disappointment, reviews from the critics are mixed, and soon ticket sales taper off. While many critics marvel at the wondrous visuals, some dismiss the acting as over the top and says the film lacks a cohesive narrative. One critic even describes cringing at the movie and remarks that it shows no trace of imagination, good taste, or ingenuity. In the end, because of its high production costs, The Wizard of Oz barely breaks even. And at the Academy Awards the following year, it's overshadowed by the historical epic Gone with the Wind. But Judy Garland's stunning voice is still recognized by the judges, and The Wizard of Oz picks up awards for Best Musical Score and Best Song. It's not until 1956, when CBS premieres the movie on American television, that the film's popularity explodes. More than 50 million viewers tune in to watch the story of Dorothy and her quest to return home to Kansas, and they're just the first of many. Over the next few decades, The Wizard of Oz will be broadcast again and again. Eventually, it will become the most watched television movie of the 20th century. Generation after generation fall in love with the story, long after its Los Angeles premiere on August 15, 1939. Next on History Daily, August 18, 1920, the 19th Amendment is ratified by the U.S. Congress, granting women the right to vote. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazi. Sound design by Gabriel Gould. Supervising sound designer Matthew Filler. Music by Thrum. This episode is written and researched by Dorian Marina. Edited by Scott Reeves. Managing producer Emily Burke. Executive producers are William Simpson for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.